Luke chapter 6. And I'm going to read but just one verse this evening. And verse 12. And the scripture says, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God." I want us to think about the subject, our Savior in the dark hour. Our Savior in the dark hour. Before we consider anything, let's turn our hearts to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to bless us for His name's sake. Lord in heaven, now we come to Thy Word, and Lord, we ask that Thou wilt allow us to hear Thy voice. We ask, O God, that Thou wilt come, and that Thou wilt take Thy Word and apply it to our hearts. We pray, Lord, that what we read here, what we see here, will be that which will not only be an encouragement to us, but it will be that which fans within our souls and in our minds a love for Christ that makes us to want to be like Him and to give all for Him. Lord, we are thankful that we have a Savior who works, a Savior who is faithful, a Savior who is constant in His care for His people. Lord, I pray now that Thou wilt bless us and meet with us then for Jesus' sake. I pray that Thou wilt help me as Thy servant. I pray that Thou wilt give me the leadership and help of the Holy Ghost. And this I pray in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Those words follow on the heels of the statement of verse 11, where it says, "And they were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus." Perhaps if your eyes would scan back up the chapter, you would understand that the Lord Jesus had just dealt with the man whose hand was withered, and that the Pharisees had been reproved by not only the grace of Christ, the kindness of Christ, but also the words of Christ. And these men were in a state of conflict and hatred for the Savior. The Lord Jesus had entered into that dark place, the place of spiritual darkness, and had shined like a light, done a ministry of mercy, and claimed a soul for himself. Indeed, I would say to you that the Pharisees here were not just angered by what they saw, but they were angered because they were found out. They were shown to be who they were. They were humiliated. And because of that, they were set to destroy Christ. It was an hour of hatred. It was an hour of darkness, I say, that the Savior came into. Furthermore, I would suggest to you that where this took place is also a point of interest. For it was in the synagogue at Capernaum that all this took place. And you might ask the question, well, where is Capernaum? Capernaum is in that region that is called Galilee. Perhaps you will remember in the prophecy of Isaiah in chapter 9, it says, "The people that sat in darkness have seen a great light." Those were the people that were in Galilee. That is talking about those people there in that region where the Lord was. Among these who sat in darkness, there was a light that shined. Christ came with the preaching of the truth. Christ came with the mercy of God in His hand. Christ came to do a work amongst those that sat in the midst of darkness. I say darkness is a key thought here. It is a key to the whole picture. You have those who sat in spiritual darkness and were mad when light shone upon them. I don't know if you could ever imagine such a thing, that darkness gets mad when you shine light in it. But that's exactly what the story was here with the Pharisees. That those also who were a benighted people received the light of Christ. Then you might even further say that the whole of the world, particularly this city, was in a dark hour, for they were being ruled by Roman pagans. In fact, when the Lord is besought to heal the ruler's child, Jairus' child, the Jews come to him. It is at Capernaum that this happens, and the Jews come to him and they say, it wasn't Jairus, it was the centurion servant. The centurion servant, they come to him and say, you need to bless and help this centurion because he and his legion, or the people that he was over, have built us a synagogue. He has done us good. Rome was the one that was ruling over these people. It was, I say, a dark hour. Darkness was the state. On the heels of this, I want you to see what it says that Christ does in the dark hour. Verse 12 again, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night. Christ in the dark hour. You have it presented to you earlier in this chapter as to how the Lord Jesus works, but then he actually shows him at a continued work even into the physical dark hour. I say all of this can be something that would teach us about what we can see the Savior doing for us when we stand in our dark hour. How would you define your dark hour if you had one? What would you say would be the characteristics? What would you say would be the state of your heart and your mind? If you were to say, I feel like I am in a very dark hour, how would you see that? What could you say about your existence in the times when you say, I am in a very dark place? For each of us, the definition would be different. Though there are some common things, we'd each say there's a difference. How I would answer is different from how you would answer. But there is one thing that is constant that I will say for the people of God. That even though you may say, this is my dark hour, I'm not always in the dark hour. Sometimes the Lord allows me to sit in the sunshine, and for that I am glad. But there are the dark times. My question, though, is not, do not look at yourself. But the question is, how does your Savior work in those dark times? And I say to you this evening that even in this simple little phrase here, this simple little picture of the Lord Jesus leaving those in Capernaum and going out into the mountain place and praying all night, that gives us an answer to the question. And I say what we see the Savior doing is something that we can say is there's a collectiveness to this. The Lord does this generally for His people, for His church overall. But I say that you can take these words and you can take this sentiment and you can apply it to yourself personally. What is Jesus doing for me? How works my God for me in the dark hour? Well, I've got 5 things I'm going to point out very briefly. First, I want you to see in just these simple words and in the picture of Christ praying, I want you to see that Jesus fights for me amid my dark times. Here is the Lord in battle. Here is the Lord doing that spiritual battle. That would be a result of the conflict and the battle that was sought to be brought upon him by those that hated him so. Here is the Lord in battle, so to speak. Oh, child of God, let us ask the question, what is our hope in the times of deep distress? What is your real hope in the time of your failure and of your sin? Well, let me ask you this. Does your heart find its hope? Does it find its healing in your ability to take yourself in hand and reform your ways? Does your soul find renewed hope? Does it find strength because you resolve within yourself that what you have just gone through will not happen again? How many times have you ever sinned and you find yourself afterwards over saying, I'll not do that again. I will not go down that road again. No, sir, I will not do that ever again. And then, first thing you know, there you are doing that again. What is our hope amid our dark times? It is this, that we have a Savior that is one who fights on our behalf in the place of intercession. I think that this picture, that this truth was something that burned deeply into the heart of the Apostle John. If you will look with me at 1 John and chapter 2. 1 John and chapter 2. You will see that John writes there in verse 1. My children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, if any man is in that dark hour, understand this, he says. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. I say, there's the picture of Christ in prayer for His people. Even in the darkness, as you would have it, in the nighttime of our spiritual existence, you have Christ at work, Christ in the battle, Christ the captain of our salvation, going to work for His people. I would say to you, secondly, that this picture speaks that Jesus lifts me amid my sleeping times. What do you do in the nighttime? For some of you, I should ask, what do you do during the rest of the day? What's your favorite occupation? Sleep, sleep, sleep. Oh, I wish I just don't get enough of it. You get 8 hours of sleep and you say, oh, I didn't get enough sleep. We love to sleep. You know what's true? Sadly, is that you also love to sleep spiritually. What's going to be your help during the times when you sleep? Now, what do I mean by that? Sometimes we sleep because we deceive ourselves. We sleep. We are asleep spiritually. We're not careful. We're not doing what we need to be doing. We're not diligent. We're not being about those things that God tells us to do. We are just asleep because we've convinced ourselves that there are things that are more important than those spiritual things that the Lord has told us to do. We convince ourselves that the matters that we face in the world, the relationships that we need to maintain, there are different things that we must attend to, and if we have to sacrifice and do these things at the expense of our spiritual watchfulness, then so be it. What did the Lord Jesus tell His disciples about the matter of sleeping? And He wasn't talking about sleeping physically, though they did sleep physically when He said this. What did He say? You are to watch and pray. The very thing that He was doing here. Watch and pray, lest ye fall into temptations. But here's the question, child of God, and you know the answer well. Do you watch and pray as you should? Do you find yourself in those times of spiritual sleepfulness? Do you find yourself in the dark hour of sleepfulness sometimes? Or should we be honest with ourselves and say, do we find ourselves in that state most of the time? What's our hope? What's going to be that keeps us? What's going to deliver us from the sleepfulness and the things that come upon us because we sleep while it is yet day, or even while it's yet night, spiritually? What's going to keep us? This, that while we may even be asleep in the night season, so to speak, our Savior is at prayer. We have a Savior that still is at work. The Lord Jesus says that to Peter. Peter was in a state of deep sleepfulness in those days, those hours prior to the Lord's crucifixion. In fact, because of that, Peter found himself in a dire temptation and he fell. Now you would think, well, then that's the end of Peter. Peter's usefulness for God, Peter's testimony is gone. Everything that has to do with Peter, he's a write-off. But before all of that took place, the Lord said to Peter, understand, Peter, even though Satan hath desired to have thee as wheat, I have prayed for thee. Though Peter was asleep, Christ was in prayer. And child of God, I say this evening, your hope for your dark times is the fact that you have a Savior who is in prayer. He's an advocate for you with the Father. He does not let down. He is that one who is speaking, who is working, who is fighting, who is lifting His people, even in the hours when they sleep. Third, I would say that we could look at this picture and say also this, that Jesus commits me in my sightless times. He commits me to God. He commits me to the divine hand. He comes and He brings my name and He brings my case and He brings the promises that concern me. All that concerneth me, He brings before the throne and He commits it to a loving Father and submits it with His own name attached. You know, sometimes the darkness is such that you can't see. As I'm getting older, I'm finding that there are other times I can't see. My wife was commenting today about a headache that causes her not to be able to see just the way she should be. I find that that comes along all the time, seemingly, for me. The old eyes just don't work. But you know, at nighttime, everything changes. Do you ever find, I don't know, it gets harder and harder and harder for me to drive at night. Things just don't look the same at night anymore as the way they used to. It's just, in the darkness, you can't see clearly. In the darkness, you can't see into the shadows. There are times when you just can't see. Things are dark. You ever have times spiritually when you just don't understand why things as they are, why everything is working as it is? You can't see what to do, how to think. You just can't see. How many times do you read of the disciples being in a place where they just didn't know what to do? They couldn't understand what was happening. Was just hearing, maybe the girls were reading of it, when the Lord Jesus and His disciples were there and all the people were around them and the people were hungry and they were growing faint. And the Lord Jesus turns to His disciples. I love how the Lord puts things. He puts His finger right on the heart and makes His disciples think before He does what He's going to do. He turns to the people after Philip asks the question, Lord, where are we going to get enough food to feed all these people? And the Lord turns and says, give you them to eat. Do you see in that an illustration of sightlessness, we can't see how that can be done. Lord, we've only got these many loaves, and we got a couple fish, and we've only got a few cents here, not enough to go into the town, and if we did, we wouldn't have enough to buy. So here we are, we're sightless. We're in a dark hour, we don't know what can be done, and yet here's a pressing need, what do I do? But then everything changes, because at that moment then, the Lord says, make them sit down, and what does the Savior do? He prays. He prays, and then there's an answer beyond what anybody could ever have imagined. That five little loaves and two little fish are going to feed 5,000 men, plus their children, plus their wives. How many were in that crowd? You think about it. If every man that came there had, each man had a wife and had just one child, that's 15,000 people. Well, suppose you say every man had two children, 20,000 people. You're talking, it could be anywhere from 10 to 25, even 30,000 people. Not just 5,000, it said 5,000 men. But the Lord, by a prayer, changes everything. And those who were sightless, those who couldn't see how anything could be done, the Lord changes everything by using just five loaves and two fish. Child of God, how often are the times that you and I are in the sightless hours? We just cannot see. We cannot understand. Things are confusing to us. Things are distressing to us. And yet the Lord Jesus commits the matter to His Heavenly Father, and with prayer and praise changes all for us. Oh, understand. And again, I think this impressed John the Apostle perhaps more than any. Christ at prayer is our hope. Christ, the intercessor, is for us our hope. It is everything. Fourth, I see in this, if you could take darkness or nighttime to be a time when I am absent from doing the things I ought to be doing or could be doing, I would suggest to you then that Jesus presents me in my absent times. He presents me to the Father. Even in the times when I found myself not before God. In the time when I find myself not busy. In the times when I find myself purposefully removed from the things of God. You know, the devil, in those kinds of hours, when you are not doing what you know God would have you to do, what's the devil can make, bring you to the conclusion about your expectancy of blessing and help from God? What's the devil say to you? This is your undoing. Because you are far off, God will not help. But here's the point. Old devil, you're a liar, because it doesn't depend on me. Though I go astray like a sheep, I will know the help of God, not because of what I have proved myself to be before the throne, but because of what Jesus Christ has proven Himself to be before the throne. The Savior takes me, He presents me up before the Father, and He says, Father, remember that this one is mine. This one is by covenant, the one that Thou wouldst help. Oh, see the Savior in prayer as that help for our souls. But then last, I present this, that in this simple picture, the Lord continuing all night in prayer, here is a proof that Jesus loves me in my lowest times. Jesus loves me in my lowest times. I asked the question, why was the Savior out there all night? Well, we might think that the Savior was in prayer all night because He loved the Father and He loved to have communion with the Father. Was that true? Of course it was true. We might say, well, the reason that the Lord Jesus was out there praying all night was because He needed refreshment in His own spirit. Well, I almost question that with whether the infinite Holy Son of God would need to be refreshed. That He grew weak. Yes, He grew weary physically. But staying up all night praying would not be what you would think would be the refreshment of the body. Why was Christ out there in prayer all night? Because He had been given a work by the Father. The Lord Jesus said plainly, I am not come to do my own will. I am not come to undertake a task that suits me or makes me to be comforted. I come to do the will of God. And the will of God is that those whom the Father has given me will come to me. I say the chief occupation of Christ in the place of prayer was prayer for His people. He was showing the love of His own heart for those that were His. Praying. Praying. This evening I am stressing, or at least trying to, that when you and I enter into those dark hours, our hope, our help is not in what we find ourselves to be, or the lessons that we learn from these dark hours, or how we can draw from past experiences and bolster ourselves up by some mental exercise, or how we can find help from one another. When we are in the dark times, our help is that Jesus is our advocate. He is in prayer. He is pleading the merits of His own blood before the throne of God for us as His people. Then I say, and I ask, where ought then your faith to be? When it says that we are to have faith, or we are to be a people that trusts, let me say, you are never to just trust in something you don't understand. You're not to have faith in something that's nebulous. Something that is, you can't understand it. What is it that I'm supposed to have faith in? Just to have a feeling of faith? That hopefully everything is going to work out? Is that faith? Faith is that you understand that you have a Savior that is at work, that is doing something for you, and you are trusting in what He will do. Can I give you an example of that, just an illustration of that? Do you remember when Ruth comes back to Naomi after having been given all the grain by Boaz? And Naomi asks Ruth, "Who art thou?" What do you mean, who am I? You know me, you see me. You know. No, that wasn't what she was asking. It was, how stand things now that you've met with Boaz? Oh, that ought to be a question that you and I would ask of each other. How stands things with you now that you've met with Christ? Things aren't the same, are they? Who are you? And Ruth gives her the account of what Boaz has said, that he would go and that he would do the work for her in the gate. And what's Naomi's counsel? And again, I want you to understand, this is exactly what I'm trying to say to you. What was Naomi's counsel? Sit down, my daughter, and be at rest. For this man will not rest till he has made an end of the matter. Child of God, what I'm trying to say to you tonight is that in your dark times, in the times of your confusion, the times of your failure, the times when you have no strength, what are you to trust in? You're to trust in this, that you have a man who will not rest till there's an end to the matter. You trust in Jesus Christ. And I say, let us vow to God that we have had enough of trying to help ourselves and trusting in ourselves and trying to reform ourselves or trying to build up ourselves. May we understand our help is in the Lord. We trust in a person who comes in his own person to the throne of God and pleads his merits and his work. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Christ at work for his people, Christ in the hour of darkness, is Christ in love with his people, working for his people, and he will obtain for them all that there is needed. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts for his name's sake. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, again this night, we're thankful for thy word. And Lord, now we pray that thou wilt use thy word in our hearts as a light in that dark hour. The Lord, may thy word show us Christ, who is indeed the very light itself. Lord, help us to realize that we are not left to ourselves, but our hope is in the Lord. Lord, I pray that thou wilt now minister to each heart. I pray that thou wilt do within us that which you mean to do by the giving of the word to us. And Lord, bless us and keep us close to thyself, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.